Okay, well, we're going to get started here, and we invite you to come back in and get settled back into your seat as we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And today, eventually, we're going to be turning to the prophet Hosea, one of the minor prophets after the major prophets. Not minor because he wasn't considered that big of a deal, but minor because he wrote less than what the major prophets did, a lot less. But we're going to be turning eventually to Hosea 10, 12 through 13, but you'll notice we won't be getting there on the back of your going deeper sheets for the sermon until a while. But just so you can begin finding Hosea and get your thumb in that page. But God led me to this passage a couple of weeks ago, and it just really struck me because this passage was all about what it is that we are trying to do as a family of families, what we've been teaching about and trying to do during this time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word in cultivating these spiritual disciplines, the holy habits and faith practices to help us grow in a life of faith, preparing our hearts and minds to hear what God has to say and acting promptly on that. As we say, we're here to hear and respond. And a big question we have to ask ourselves is, how have we responded? So today will be a bit of a reminder of what we've been doing to go into where we will be going this coming year of 2025, during this time, to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. Because God's Word, this blessing, is given to us so that it would transform our lives and change the very way we live. Not just our inward being, but our outward actions. As James, the brother of Jesus, says in James 1, 22, 25, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." God calls us to action when his word is brought before us. It is that mirror that we can look in and see our life through the lens of and understand what it is that he is wanting to shape in us, how it is he's wanting to take our deformity from this world and conform it more and more into his image that he created us to be. I love this illustration that James uses here, because I can't tell you how many times I've looked in the mirror and I see something like this. I'm like, okay, I'll fix that in a little bit. And then I end up coming out here, and then one of you fix it for me, which, by the way, thank you. But it's so easy to forget. You know, we see something, oh, I don't like how my hair is just, I'm Albert Einstein right now. Maybe I should shave it. And before you say I don't have hair, eventually it does grow. I get to cut it like maybe two or three times a year. The point is, if we take that time to look into a mirror to check on our appearance, that's what we're doing when we open the Word of God. We're checking on our spiritual reality of our life. And when we find ourselves all cattywampus, it provides us the means of correction so that we can do something about it. Are we doing something about it? As the Word of God is open, we are meant to be changed by its message, shaped and formed by the power of Scripture, and into a deeper walk with Jesus through our understanding of his Word, particularly a growth in our righteousness with Jesus. Righteousness, which is just a fancy word that we use, we hardly truly understand, that simply means the right relationship, having the right relationship with him, which is vital to understand. This is, once again, the simplest, most direct definition of the word that we translate to in English for righteousness. And there's a fantastic video I found. There's a short clip that actually explains this a lot quicker and a lot better than I can.
How good is life for those who hunger and thirst for dikaiosune? because they will be satisfied. Dikaiosune, or righteousness, means living in right relationship with God, other people, and all creation. We act with righteousness when we live justly, honestly, and faithfully according to God's instruction. In Jesus' teachings, righteousness describes not only fasting and prayer, but also giving generously to the poor, forgiving others, and loving our enemies. To live this way is to do right by God. God also does righteousness towards us. That is, he does right by his covenant promises to people, to send Israel's promised Messiah to renew the world. In accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where Dikaiosune is at home.
As I said, something very simple and to the point. That is what righteousness is. And I know I've said this time and time again, but these are things that we need to be reminded of. And we need to completely embed into our life to understand what it is we are actually striving for. We're striving and seeking together as a family of families to live in his word in a right relationship with God, with ourselves and others and the whole of creation. We seek to grow in the right relationship through his word, to be transformed and changed by it. Understanding righteousness goes beyond just believing in the right things. You can believe in the right things all you want. You know what James says about that? Even demons believe and tremble. You do well. Even demons do that. In other words, it's more than just mere belief in the right things. It involves actively acting out in justice and kindness with our interactions with God, ourselves, others, and the whole of creation. This is what a majority of our time last year in 2024 was spent on. From May all the way to December, we talked about how it is we can begin to develop and grow and cultivate a life of righteousness here and now, through exploring what we've called the inward disciplines, spiritual disciplines, holy habits, and faith practices like meditation and contemplation. Understanding that meditation and contemplation isn't as the world would understand meditation and contemplation. It is not just a simply emptying of yourself to be empty, but no, it is the emptying of yourself of the world to be filled with the things of Jesus. And then we moved into prayer, the second discipline we explored, what it meant to pray, to pause, to be still and praise the Lord, rejoicing in his goodness and his greatness, then asking for our daily needs, asking for that daily bread, asking for the big and what we would call the mundane, which is not mundane to God because he's generous. He is a good heavenly Father that wishes to bestow upon us great blessing. And confessing and our asking God for that forgiveness and the power to forgive others, and then yielding our lives to him come what may. We then talked about fasting and abstaining, talking about how this is such a critical practice of our faith to bring our bodies in check and bring other things in our lives in check that help bring our souls in check, to make us remember who is God and who is not, that we are not God and he is. Silence and solitude, one of the most difficult things in this day and age of noise, where we can drown out all that noise. We can focus our minds and our hearts on the one who deserves our soul attention. We can focus on our audience of one, Jesus. Carving out time and place for that to take place. And how all these things lead us into study. Study of his word and study of who it is we are in Christ. There's many books out there that can help us study, but ultimately we study his word, meditating upon his word, praying upon his word, reading his word while fasting, and spending that time when we're in silence and solitude saying, Jesus, speak to me. Finally, surrender and submission. All of these inward disciplines that we live inwardly in our life. These are things that we do as an inward discipline. They're things that we do so that God can put in us the change that's needed, that he can bring about the transformation that is needed. As Richard Foster says, by themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to the place where something can be done. This means these spiritual disciplines, holy habits, and practices of faith are not means to an end. Rather, they are methods of practice in our journey of faith to entirely give ourselves over to God, his will, his way, trusting in his rule and reign come what may. They are not mechanical cogs in a gigantic machine that if we just spin it right, touch that right, that out will come a certain result. The practitioner of these holy habits does it because they admit the sheer fact that they can't without God, that without Jesus, they are nothing. It's a way of humbling ourselves before God, admitting that we are not in control and there is a God who is. There is a God who was, who is, and will always be. And that's not us. In this, the disciplines put ourselves in the proper place for God to do what God can only do, and that's to bring about the needed transformation and change in our life. A transformation and change we've referred to quite a bit in 2024, and I'm going to refer to it again right now, Romans 12, 1 through 2, that Paul says what happens when we practice these correctly. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The life of discipline is a way that we do this, so that we would not, as he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Having your life fully transformed from the deformity we inherited from this fallen and sinful world. Have you ever thought about that? How much your life has been deformed by the world around you? You were made in the perfect image of God, but through our upbringing, no fault of our parents, they had the same deformity happen to them. You know, we were fighting a losing battle here until Jesus, who came and showed us a really, really good way, the best way, through a wonderful truth that would lead to a real life. Not just life abundantly, but life righteously, where we can live in the right relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, and the whole of creation. The inward disciplines that we spent a majority of 2024 learning about are methods of discovery by which we can begin to experience this righteousness in our lives. Leading to that pivotal question we need to ask always when we say we're going to hear, but we're also going to respond. How is it that God has called you to respond to his word? Have you allowed yourself to undergo this deep transformation in and through the Holy Spirit through a life of discipline? Because as we said last year, you can't outsource this. And we discussed this many weeks ago in October. You cannot rely on me to do this for you. I can't do this for you. We must make that conscious, intentional effort ourselves to do this. It can't be outsourced. Your faith cannot be handed to anyone else. It is our responsibility to give that intentional effort, intentional efforts with the proper intentions, understanding that we need to have the proper intention in mind, in our heart. You know, we can say all we want, I've read X amount of books, you know, this past year. I read the Bible all the time, and boy, you should see my Bible study stack on my desk. If you saw mine, you'd see a really tall stack, but those are books I have yet to read. And then the book stack of ones I have read is a little bit shorter, a lot shorter. The point is, we can try to toot our own horn about how often we pray, how often we fast, and you want to know what? It's all for naught. Because good for you as Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6, you got your reward, the accolades of man. We do not, nor should we ever, practice the disciplines because we want to become something other than Jesus. They are not to pridefully inflate our lives to make us look good in front of others, but they are meant to humble our lives so that we can come before God as we should. We do this and practice these holy habits of faith because we know that due to sin, we have been brought to nothing. And in and by them, God can reform, restore, reshape, restore our lives. And when we genuinely practice and live them out, God does that transformation inside of us and recreates our complete life and who He created us to be in our beginning. And that is in His image, in His likeness. Do you want to be recreated by God in such a way? If so, what have you done this past year with what God has brought to you? Understanding it can't be outsourced. I cannot, your family cannot, and anyone else cannot do this for you. You must make the conscious choice and commit to doing something about it so that God, in your humility and surrender before Him, can begin this great work in your life. If you do nothing, then nothing is what you will gain. If you do something, but for the wrong reason, there's no gain in that either. But if you truly live out the blessed attitude, that kingdom virtue that Jesus gives us in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The disciplines are a way that we find the satisfaction in our spiritual hunger for righteousness, the right relationship with God, ourselves, others, and all of creation. I agree. So we can live out those great commandments to love God. You ever wonder about that? Those great commandments that Jesus says are the greatest commandments? They're all about having a right relationship, loving God, loving ourselves. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself because God loves you. You can love yourself too. Because He sees who He created you to be. And when you begin living that way, you are to love yourself and love others as you love yourself. This is what it means to live in righteousness. The disciplines are the path to the needed formation in our life due to our deformations. As we do this, though, it leads us to the next stage of this journey. As we are not done talking about the disciplines, there's still the outward disciplines. Because there's been an inward change, there's an outward reality that begins to take place in our lives, which is what we'll be spending a lot of time this year discussing. The outpouring of our lives due to the work that God has done inwardly to us. They are not called outward because they have no inward effect like the inward disciplines, but outward because they do not just affect us, but they affect the world around us. They point others to Jesus. We truly become those signposts that shows people that I'm not God, but I know the one who is, and here He is. They impact others, and they impact the world around us in and through their practice in our lives. They aren't mere practices to bring about self-reflection and growth and inward renewal, but are avenues for positively impacting and bringing that growth and renewal to the world around you, giving us the full reward if we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, in that we would be filled to overflowing. Disciplines we will explore this year of Sabbath rest. Whew. That's a difficult one in our day and age. Very difficult one. Giving and charity, corporate worship, what we're doing here today together, mission and service, proclamation and evangelism, and yes, confession, the discipline of confession. This is where we'll be heading this year, and I'm so excited to see what God is going to be doing in and through us all as we seek to develop a life of discipline together as one family in an outward manner, knowing this is the natural outpouring of our lives due to the infilling of Christ to the world around us. Being no hearers of the word, but being doers. Understanding, as James also says in chapter 2, verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not saying that we are saved by our works, but just saying that, quite frankly, if you truly are following and living for Jesus in such a radical and transformative way, it's going to lead to an outpouring of that life to the world around you. Things that we don't do begrudgingly out of obligation to check off a box, but works that naturally come forth because of the inward reality that Jesus has formed in your life. Just like the inward disciplines, the outward disciplines are of no value if we do them for outward praise, but are the very means by which God molds and reshapes our lives more into the image of His Son, the image we have been created to be. Therefore, they are the outward expression of an inward lived reality. And they take us further in that lived righteousness with God, ourselves, others, and the whole of creation. This brings us to another very critical truth that we discussed during the beginning of this whole journey on the disciplines. This reformation of your life into the image of Christ is not something that just happens. Just like no one can do this for you, you're going to have to get out of your way, because you're going to get from this what you put into this. Our flesh desires nothing more than to not... Our flesh desires not to do these things. We desire to do the opposite. It's just because that's how we've been formed in this life. We do not live in a world that teaches us to walk humbly with others and with God. We do not live in a world that teaches us to act justly, correctly. And interesting fact, the word justice and righteousness are a part of the same word family in Greek. And so that's why sometimes you'll see in your translations where there's the word righteousness in this translation, but the word justice in this one. You'll see that sometimes because they're part of the same word family. So there's a part of righteousness that means to walk in justice. And by justice, we mean living in accordance with the rule of God, living His way through His truth so that we can receive His life, choosing intentionally to walk the narrow way that leads to living in every moment of every day we are given in the way that God would intend for us to live in it. Because you reap what you sow into your life of faith. Bringing us now to Hosea. We're going to spend a few minutes here in Hosea. The prophet Hosea, who prophesied to Israel, and it's a pretty grim prophecy. Chapter 10 provides this bridge between his first set of orations to his second set of orations. And in the middle of chapter 10, he writes this: "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors." Reminding us of a critical point. You will get out of your life what you put into your life. You will reap what it is you have sowed, knowing it is God we rely upon for all the growth. As Paul testifies in 1 Corinthians 3:6, when there's this conflict going on of who I was baptized in the name of this guy, Paul, Apollos, and he says, you know, who is Apollos? Who's Paul? And he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. As Jesus himself testifies to in Mark 4:26-37. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. It's because it's God who does the work. It's God who brings the growth. We prepare the way for that growth. We put ourselves in the position of that growth because we reap what we sow into our lives. And if you would sow righteousness, hungering and thirsting for the right relationship with God, guess what God will bring and produce out of your life? Just that. As you reap steadfast love, Hosea says. If you sow righteousness, you will reap steadfast love. Which, when we fully understand those greatest commandments, you shall love your Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. That is, that righteousness is found in these two commandments. And how can we, in fact, do this? How are we even capable of this? As my daughter's favorite verses, John, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Not to mention, this is not any just ordinary love here. This is what, in the Greek, in the Hebrew here, in Hosea, it's hesed love. Covenant love, a loyal love, hesed love, the foundational concept in the Word of God that describes his unconditional love for us, that if we would sow righteousness, we would reap that covenant love, not just for God, for ourselves and for others in the whole of creation. We must ask ourselves the question, do we want this kind of love to produce and flow forth from our lives? If not, we need to check our relationship with Christ. And ask if we are genuinely walking in a right relationship with him, to be in the right relationship with him, others, and ourselves. Do we want this? If so, the prophet shows us exactly how to get it. Break up your fallow ground, he says. Break up your fallow ground. For it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Fallow ground. I love all the farming illustrations in the Bible. They really hit home for me because I grew up working in a garden and farming with my grandfather. That's why I spent my summers and I loved it. And boy, something about fallow ground. Sometimes you got to leave a field a year, give it some rest so that the nutrients of the soil can come back. And that's what happens when a ground becomes fallow. But you know what also happens when you leave a field to rest for a year? Does anybody know what happens to the soil, too? It gets hard. It gets hard as rocks sometimes. And it depends on how long you've left it fallow. It gets really hard. I mean, and, you know, whenever I was gardening and farming with my grandfather, we had electric tillers. Boy, I love that thing. It just chewed up the ground right away. Could you imagine living in a day like Hosea? Where, yeah, you might have ox and some plows to pull, but you had to get in there and dig deep. You had to knock out that topsoil first, and you had to break it all apart. You had to mix it all together. You had to till it by hand. This was no easy task for anyone. It's not easy, but we can do this. And the reality is the fallow ground that Hosea is speaking about here is our heart. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. It's time to seek the Lord. And if we do this, guess what he's going to do? He will rain righteousness upon us. And what does the rain bring with what we sow? It brings the fruit. It brings the produce. It brings forth that hesed love. It brings it about in our life. How hard then is the ground of your heart? When was the last time you allowed the Lord to help you break it apart so that he could bring his reign of righteousness? The inward disciplines are a path to breaking up that fallow ground in our heart. They put us in the needed position to have our hardened hearts broken open, ready to receive the word spoken to us by God so we can properly respond and sow for yourself righteousness, reap steadfast love. However, too often we refuse. We choose not to do this, whether it be because it's just not desirable, whether it be because it's too difficult. Time and time again in this day and age, we fail to trust God to do his part, so we don't do our part. We don't work on plowing that ground, preparing it, and instead of sowing in our lives righteousness, we plow iniquity, as Hosea says. And in this, we reap injustice. We have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. Trusted in our own way and the multitude of warriors. Understanding that taking on a life of discipline is saying, I cannot, but I know you can, God, and I need your help. It's a means of humbling ourselves, not pridefully inflating ourselves. It's a means of making ourselves less so that he can become more. This is our hardened hearts and our stubborn ways that we see, though, so often. We try to rely on our own strength, our way, when it's clear where that way leads. This way that God is talking about is his way that's brought to us through his truth, and that truly shapes our life to that abundance of life that Jesus promised to bring. The inward disciplines leads us to the breaking up of that fallow ground to prepare for the harvest of the outward disciplines in our life, which is where we're going to be spending a good part of this year. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Learning about how we continue to break up the fallow ground in our lives to sow righteousness, to reap something of eternal worth. In this, we have to ask that question, but what are you going to do about it? What from last year have you done? How have you began? Have you began? Will you today begin? What has been produced from your life of faith? After spending the majority of 2024 discussing the inward disciplines, how have you begun to respond to what the Lord has brought to you? Understanding, you're only going to get out of this what you put into it. And maybe you're thinking, I don't know where to begin. Or maybe you're joining this journey halfway. On the back of your Going Deeper page, there's this huge QR code. If you scan that, you can actually see all the sermons from last year regarding this and any other thing that we've discussed as a family of families the past several years. But you can go back. Maybe you're needing a refresher. Maybe that's something that you feel that you can begin doing to begin walking a life of discipline. Maybe you're still needing to correct your understanding of how this transformation is taking place in your life, that it's not you that will bring it, but it is God. It's not something done because you are opening and willing to do some things for God. It's done because you put yourself in a place for God to begin to work in your life. Maybe it's just committing. Saying, you know, I've tried it my way enough. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to commit to walk God's way, genuinely, not just to walk that way, but for the right reasons, because you know it's what will lead you truly to righteousness, the right relationship. Regardless of your next step, whatever it may be, how will you begin breaking the fallow ground of your heart more today than you did yesterday? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.